Now I'm going to read verses 13 and 14. Let me read. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, these which are arrayed in the white robes, who are they, and whence came they? And I say unto him, my Lord, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of the great tribulation, and they washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. This is a very enlightening passage of Scripture, as you can see. One of the elders went over to John, and he says, John, who are these here that are arrayed in these white robes? And John says, sir, thou knowest, or my Lord, thou knowest, as we have attempted to put it in the original. My Lord, thou knowest. In other words, this is an idiomatic expression. I think we have one that would match it. Somebody asks us a question, we don't know the answer, and we just sort of lift our hands and we say, search me, which means I don't know. And that's exactly what John is saying here. My Lord, thou knowest. You know I don't know. You tell me, because I don't know. And he said to me, these are they which came out of the great tribulation. Now, if these people that are gathered here had been the church, don't you know that John would have known it? John wrote to the believers in his day. He knew about the church. He knew about the body of believers. And he talked about that great unifying cement that holds them together. The love of God means that they must love one another. And that we saw was demonstrated, and I read a little poem about that the other day to you. Now, John doesn't know who they are. In other words, John at this point is, frankly, an amillennialist. He doesn't know who this company is. And so the elder who represents the church knows. And this company is not one of them. It's an altogether different company. It's those that came out of the great tribulation. And doesn't that tell you that the church is not going through the great tribulation? This is a special company out of all tribes and tongues and nations that have come out of the great tribulation. We live today when God makes a division in the human family. One division is saved and lost, of course. That's the great bifurcation of the human family. But if you want a group division, you will recall that the Word of God has something to say about it. We are told in 1 Corinthians 10:32, and I'd like to read that to you. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. That's 1 Corinthians 10:32. Paul says to the Corinthians, there are three groups over there. There are Jews, and there are Gentiles, and there is the church of God. Those are the three groups. And don't give an offense to any one of these groups. That's what he's saying to the Corinthians. That is one of the divisions that the Scripture makes of the human family. There are Jews, there are Gentiles, and there's the church of God. That is the division today that runs right down through the human family. Now we've come to a period when there's not but two groups, Jews and Gentiles. Where's the church of God? It went to be with him. He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. They're with him now, you see, this peculiar group, which he mentions in 1 Corinthians 12:13, by one spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles. So God today is calling out of the two divisions, both Jews and Gentiles, a people for his name that are different, the church. And that church will be taken out of the world. I don't like the impression given today by some, and it is a pessimistic viewpoint, that somehow or another today God is failing. My friend, God today is doing exactly what he said he was going to do, that in this age he would call a people out of this world to himself. And he's doing a lots better job at that than you and I think he is. In fact, as a pastor of a church, I didn't think he was doing very much. But I've discovered on radio, as we've reached out across this land and now around the world, why, we have discovered that there are multitudes that are turning to Christ today, everywhere. And that's what others are reporting, so that God's calling a people out of this world to himself, the church. Now, the church is not here. John makes it clear. This is a group different from the church. They came through the great tribulation. Now, where in the world have we heard about the great tribulation before? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ is the one that uses this term. In fact, he's the one that gave it to us. Somebody thinks that maybe some rank, wild-haired fundamentalist thought of that term, but he didn't. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one that thought of it and designated it. And he makes the statement in Matthew 24, verse 21, he says, "And then shall be the great tribulation." And here in Matthew and also in Revelation, there is a way of expressing it that we just can't do it in our language. There is an article with the adjective great and then article with tribulation. And it's the tribulation, the great one. And that is given to us for emphasis. In other words, this is something that's different. This is something that is indeed unusual. And so John is here quizzed by one of the elders, and he's unable to identify this great company. John would have known them if this was the church, but it's not. And if they were Old Testament saints or Israelites, I think John would have known that. This company he does not recognize at all. And they are identified as redeemed Gentiles who've come out of the great tribulation, and their robes, which speaks of the righteousness of Christ, how did they get it? Because Christ shed his blood. And that's the only way in the world that you and I will be able to stand before God. It's because he paid the penalty for our sins. He died that you and I might live. And that is true of this group here also. God has only one way of saving mankind. It's always been true, and that's by faith in the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now let me read a couple scriptures to you in this connection. In 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, Paul tells us what the gospel is. Let me read it. "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain." If your faith was an empty faith and not put now in the gospel, you're not saved. But now if you've trusted what? Now what is the gospel? Listen to him. "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received." Paul says this is not new with me. I never thought of it. It was given to me. The Lord Jesus taught him out yonder in that Arabian desert for 2 years. And he says that he is giving them what he had received, how that Christ died for what? For our sins, according to the scriptures, according to the Old Testament, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Now, this is the gospel. The gospel is not God asking you to do something. It's God telling you that he has done something for you. The gospel is not you giving something to God. The gospel is God giving something to you. The gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. How do you get it? By faith. That's the only way you can receive a gift. Suppose you bring in here a gift to me. And maybe by Christmas, well, you come in here and you say, Dr. McGee, here's a gift for you. Now, what did I have to do to receive it? I could say to you, I'll come out and mow your lawn. But you'd say, well, I don't want you to do that. By the way, many of you, when you hear this, will wonder why I mentioned mowing the lawn. In California, I have to mow my lawn in November. And so I say, I'll mow your lawn. You say, I don't want you to mow it. This is a gift. I'd insult you if you brought me a gift and I try to pay you for it. Suppose I'd say, well, I've got 3 cents in my pocket. I'll give you this for it. Well, that'd be an insult because I know you wouldn't give me a gift that just costs 3 cents. You see, friends, the things got all mixed up today. The gospel is what God is doing for us, you see. Now he says again in Ephesians 1:7, in whom, that is in Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. God's got plenty of grace, and I don't care who you are, he can save you. Now, we have here this great company that's not part of the church, and we need to enlarge our conception of the redeemed to the extent that it goes beyond the borders of the church today. And certainly beyond the borders of your little group or my little group or your denomination or mine.